This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That was the goal, right? To strengthen our team, and we'll come out of this whole off-season process better. And we definitely feel like we've improved our team. Now we got to go out there and we got to compete, and we got to stay healthy. But yeah, we definitely feel we're in a much better position.
Bears general manager Ryan Pace talking about his haul from the weekend in the NFL draft, or hopefully what will be the 2020 season. What's going on? Hope your Sunday has gone well so far and continues to do that. I'm Mark Grody with you until 7 o'clock tonight here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. We will talk to former Chicago Bears linebacker, special teamer Jim Schwantz, also part of the WBBM Bears broadcast, and he's a mayor too. So we'll talk to him coming up here in just a little bit. But right now, I am excited to bring in Greg Gabriel, the former Bears scouting director, the former personnel director for the XFL's DC Defenders, and I'm glad that he is here breaking down the NFL draft with us right now. He's Greg Gabriel. What's going on, Greg Gabe? How are you?
I'm doing real good, Mark. How about you? Haven't talked in a while.
I know, man. I mean, like, I'm sorry that what happened to the XFL happened to the XFL, but I kind of feel bad. I'm glad that we have you studying up on the NFL again. You feel like you're all caught up on your NFL prospects and everything that went down in this draft?
Well, being that I was working until 2 weeks ago, I had 2 weeks to catch up. So, to be honest, there was times that after guys were taken, I'd go back and I had tape. You know, we had availability to all the college tapes, so I had a lot of tape and look the tape, and I'd look at guys after they got picked. But, you know, I'm not anywhere close to being as caught up as some other people, but I know the Bears picks well. I think they did a good job. And I got to say one thing, too. If this was a perfect world, Mark, we'd be in the fourth quarter of the XFL championship game, and I'd probably be a few minutes away from the championship. So,
but
the world changed on us real quick.
Yeah, it did. I'm sorry, man. Yeah, that's
nothing to be sorry about, but, you know, I think about that a little bit, but
yeah, no, I don't blame you, man. I don't blame you. So we'll make the best of this situation. We'll make this the greatest appearance ever that you've had on the Score. You heard Ryan Pace coming in there, the GM of the Bears. Did they make their team better with, and we'll just talk about to start off with, the two second-round picks, the guys that you would suspect would be impacts, those being Notre Dame's Cole Kmet and their fourth-round pick, or I should say their other second-round pick, the Utah cornerback Jalon Johnson?
Well, first, I like how we went about it. You're going into what night was it? Friday night. There was talk that the Bears were looking, to move up in the second round. And I thought, please don't do that. You know, you don't have capital to do that. And I think you just had to be patient this year, given the little amount of draft capital that they had and the draft spots that they had and the draft slots that they had. So they did that, worked out well. I'm a big fan of Cole Kmet. I think I've seen every game he's played at Notre Dame. I'll give you a little bit of a comp. And he's probably better coming out of college, is Zach Ertz, who I was with Philly as a consultant when they drafted him in the 2013 draft. Kmet is just as productive as Ertz was. He's bigger. He's faster. He's stronger. So, you know, I think what the Bears are looking for in that particular offense, you have to have a dynamic tight end who can be a dominant player. They have not had that since Matt Nagy's been here. Hopefully this is the guy, and easily the best tight end in this draft, and he's got all the physical traits that you need to become the type of player that they have in Kansas City at the tight end position, and they have Philly in the tight end position. Obviously, two teams that play a very similar offense. And then when you go to Jalen Johnson, may have been a first-round pick if it wasn't for the shoulder surgery he had right after the combine. The good news is played all year with it. Then he participated and competed in the combine. A lot of kids would walk away and say, no, I'm hurt, I can't do it. He did it. Then he had the labrum surgery. A lot of times that's not a big deal. You know, you fix it up. They're good to go in about 4 months. If that's the case, you know, if there was OTAs this year, probably would have been taking part in the last part of OTAs. I'm sure it'll be 100% by the time they get to training camp. So those two picks in the premium round, I thought they did a great job. I thought going into the draft, they had to get a corner. In my opinion, it was either a corner, tight end, offensive line, receiver being last for that second round. And then when they signed the two offensive linemen in free agency, I thought that then the need for the offensive linemen probably dropped down a little bit, and then they ended up filling the two biggest needs going into the draft.
Mark Rohde talking to Greg Gabriel here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Back to Cole Kmet, because you said you watched all of his games. Based on what you saw him do in college, is he somebody who can start right away for the Bears week one this year and get it and impact the team? Or does he need developing?
No, he's a plug-and-play guy, in my opinion. A lot of people had him as a first-round pick. And what I like about him, too, is he can play inside at the Y, or he can play outside, and you know, depending on what offense or any call you call an F, call an H, he can do either of those positions. I think they'll probably have him start off at the Y position. Mm-hmm. He is a good blocker, a little inconsistent sometimes, but you see enough on tape where he can blow people off the line of scrimmage. Just doesn't do it on an every down basis. Now, and with college football being the way it is right now, that's not unusual. He's got the want to, he's got the size, he's got the strength. It's just doing it down in and down out on a consistent basis. I don't think there'll be a problem with that at all. And I think being the fact that he is a local kid, that, you know, he's going to do everything that he has to do to be a solid player.
Yeah, I mean, that adds a whole extra layer to things when you have that bit of pressure on a guy when he's from the plays for his hometown team. It seems like, Greg, that he has the right demeanor and mental makeup to be able to handle that. But isn't that, in some cases, if a scout like you are, or if a GM like Ryan Pace is, if you don't have the right mental makeup, isn't that a tough thing to do, honestly, play for your home team?
You know, the pressure that you build up within yourself can sometimes, you know, be a little tougher. But this kid's played on the big stage. There's not too many places that have a bigger stage than Notre Dame. You know, nationally televised game every week, just the prestige of the school. And in essence, he's playing in front of a hometown crowd there because it's only an hour and a half away from where he lives. So, I think he's already faced it. His 4 years at Notre Dame. So this is just a continuation of what he's been doing.
Well, what did you think when the Bears signed Jimmy Graham?
You know, I saw a lot of the stuff in the media and I didn't think it was a negative thing. I kind of like it, to tell you the truth. Is he going to be the dominant player that he was early in his career? No. But he's still pretty darn athletic. You go back and you look at the tape from last year, he's still an athletic guy. He can't block. He never could block. He is the proverbial, you know, F for you tight end. He's the split out guy. That's why the Comets can be playing inside. And then you're going to have that guy. And for this offense to work good, you got to have those two guys. And I saw a stat, and Kevin Fishbane might have put it out earlier. You know, in the two tight end sets, Philadelphia ran 599 plays last year out of two tight end sets, and the Eagles were like 300. And then you went to the Bears, 88. And look at the, and it's pretty much the same offense, and look at the difference in the production.
Right, and you know, as you indicated, that this is, that's the way Matt Nagy would like to have 400 plays like that with the tight end. So now you have a situation where Matt Nagy has a little bit better of a blueprint, or hopefully a rough draft of being able to run an offense the way that he wants to be able to do it. Do you think that that is with Nick Foles as the starting quarterback, or do you think that it legitimately will be a competition between Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky?
Well, I think there's going to be a competition. There almost has to be. You don't want to give up on a first-round pick, especially a top-three first-round pick, after only 3 years. You know, go back a year ago, everybody had the arrow going up. You know, based on the season, he goes to the Pro Bowl as an alternate. The Bears are in the playoffs. You know, the arrow's going up. For some reason, last year, the bottom fell off. I don't know the reason. You know, I was out of town a lot working with the XFL, so, and obviously not in the building. So there's probably a lot of little stuff that went on that we don't know about that, you know, caused his play to drop off. But I think, or the last thing the Bears want to see happen, and especially Ryan Pace, is you don't want the same thing to happen to Trubisky as what happened with Tannehill. In other words, you ship him out the door, and a guy turns out to be a hell of a player. You've got to give him an opportunity to develop. And when you look at Foles, and Foles was in Philly when I was there, he always plays his best coming in off the bench.
Right.
And taking over for the starter, you know, not as a relief pitcher in a particular game, but for a relief pitcher like for the rest of the season type of guy. And you give it to him right from the start, doesn't play as good. And that was, you know, part of that was we saw last year when he was with Jacksonville, he was given the reins. He didn't play that well. He didn't play anywhere as good as he did when he was in Philly. So I think that if I was betting, I'd say Trubisky's going to be the starter in week one, and it's going to be, you know, see how it goes. And if he starts to falter, it's going to be a short leash, and they'll go with the other guy.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great if that's the way, like if you had the best of both worlds. You're right, because you give Trubisky the try, and if it doesn't work, that sucks. But then, yeah, you have one of the best backup quarterbacks of all time, just based on the fact that the guy won the MVP in the Super Bowl. So it's going to be really intriguing to see how that whole thing plays out. I want to address the offensive line. I am not looking for any great amounts of information from you on those two seventh rounders, Arlington Hambright and Lachavius Simmons, because none of us really has tons of information on those two guys. But I will just ask this.
Actually, I did a little tape on both of them. So
okay. Tell us about Arlington Hambright and Lachavius Simmons, dear Greg Gabriel.
I personally, I mean, they're picked back to back. Was it 226 and 227?
It was.
I like Simmons a little bit better. Part of it's the size and the versatility of that. Yes, he played at Tennessee State, but he's played guard and tackle. He's played both tackles and left guard, I think. At least in the tape I saw, he's played left and right tackle and left guard. Big guy, nasty, strong, looks to finish. Fairly athletic for a big guy. He's raw, doesn't use his hands as good. You know, he's a guy that you would think is going to be like your ninth offensive lineman as a rookie, especially being that he played at the FCS level. The other guy, Hambright, very, very athletic, not as big. You know, I think he wasn't at the combine. He measured it, and Colorado had one of the very few pro days this year. He measured, from what I saw, 6.03 sevenths, which is exactly the same thing as Charles Leno measured at the combine. His arms are a little bit short, but I don't always trust arm length at pro days. It depends on who's doing the measuring. A lot of times you can get a pro day arm length of 32.5, and then the same guy could go to a combine and be 33.25. So he's in that 33-inch area. Personally, I think he's going to probably end up being an inside player, watching his play. But he's definitely got the athleticism to play outside. He's a very athletic guy, and he ran a sub-5 flat. There's not a lot of offensive linemen that you see over, 300 pounds that can run a sub-5 flat. He ran 4.98 or something.
That's great, man. That's great information. I did like what Simmons said to us on the conference call last night. He said that I'm a bloody your nose type of player, and you said he's got some of that mean in him when you were watching the tape.
Yeah, the tape says that he's a very physical player. He goes after people. And one of the games I looked at to see him against better competition was in 2018. They played Vanderbilt. So that's, right across town in Nashville, but it's SEC competition and not FCS. And he held his own. I mean, he knocked some guys off the line of scrimmage on the Vandy defensive line, got out space in eight plays. He played left guard in that game. He played well.
Mark Reddy talking to Greg Gabriel here on The Score. So with Pace having, waited until the final two picks of his draft, the Bears draft, to take offensive linemen, does that, should we read into that and say that the Bears offensive line will come back in the exact same configuration that it was last year, except for maybe a change at right guard where they put a Fetty in over Rashad Coward? Or do you think there still could be change on the O-line?
No, I think it's going to be, pretty much the same line. Obviously, there's a new coach, and got to see how he, Castillo coached at Philly when I was there. He was actually on the defensive side that one year, but his reputation as an offensive line coach is tremendous in a lot of places and had a lot of success. Always coaches a very physical type style for his offensive line, and his players get after it. I think there'll be competition at right guard between Afidi and Coward. And then I think you can probably throw Bars into that competition, Bar 2. But the rest, I think, will be pretty much the same. And then, you got to throw in Spriggs that they signed from Green Bay. He was a second-round pick. Didn't play as well as Green Bay expected. Had some injury issues, but he can be a good backup, swing offensive tackle type guy, and even play inside if he has to.
Greg, last question for you. The Minnesota Vikings, 15 draft picks this year. As one as you were in the room helping to make decisions on guys that were drafted, what would it be like to have, or maybe you've had experience with this, with having that many guys to pick through? Is it daunting, or is it just like a dream when you're in that draft room to have 15 picks?
I think one year we had 12, if I recall. Never 15. And I know if a lot of times when you get that many picks, a bunch of them come in the last two rounds, and then you're really looking for quality, but at the same time, I got a little bit of cold. You're also looking for the guys you won't have to compete for in undrafted free agency. Sometimes it tends to get a little expensive that way. So you draft some of those guys that you're going to have to compete with for, with other teams in the seventh round and bring them in. And a lot of times you get lucky and you get a guy that turns out to be a pretty good player.
Greg, thank you, man. Thanks for playing through the cold. I do appreciate that. It's great to hear your voice, and I'm looking forward to hearing more of it here on The Score, man.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
All right, Greg, just making it there, man. Had a little cold playing through it. Hope he's all right. That's our guy, Greg Gabriel. Used to be big time executive with the Bears in the XFL, and obviously a huge asset to our radio station, as he gave you some really good information. How about that? Popping in the tape on Arlington Hambright and Lechavius Simmons, those two guys, one out of Colorado and one out of Tennessee State. All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more Bears. We're going to bring in my guy, Jim Schwantz, the former Bear, now Bears broadcaster. Jim Schwantz will give us his thoughts on what the Bears did over the weekend and what will happen with them going forward. I'm Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, every draft, you know, different positions, there are strengths and weaknesses. But for us to take any position, it really has to align for us the right way. So, you know, sometimes there's players we like at that position, and the board just doesn't follow that way for us. So that's what happened this draft, and we're okay with it because we came away with seven players we're really excited about.
Bears general manager Ryan Pace did not draft a quarterback. Context of what he was saying right there. He met with us last night via conference call after a busy draft weekend, as always, including right here on 670 The Score, as the Bears ended up having three picks in the fifth round and then two in the seventh after their two second-round picks. Mark Grody with you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score for about another 35 minutes or so. I will be here until 7 o'clock on The Score. More of your calls a little bit later on at 312-644-6767. I am textable, as always, at 670-11. You can find me on Twitter. I'll play along there. At Mark Grody Sports is the way to do that. He played football for the Chicago Bears. He's also a Bears broadcaster now on News Radio 780 WBBM and 105.9 FM. He is the mayor of Palatine. He is Jim Schwantz. What's going on, Jimmy? How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing very well. What did you think of the Bears weekend, getting a couple of looks like quality players and Cole Kmet and Jalen Johnson in the second round of the draft?
Yeah, I think based on, you know, what how it went down, how the draft fell, you kind of heard it, that little bite you played before this segment. You know, I think you got two really good players, two plug-in starters, guys that are going to give the Chicago Bears some options come whenever we get to see football again. And you know, Cole obviously is a local product. In fact, I coached him in basketball. Him and my son Austin are the same age. Competed
really?
Against him a bunch. Watched him as a young athlete. He was always a tenacious competitor. Great athlete. He didn't hit his growth spurt till he got to high school. So, you know, I played football with his dad at Purdue and his uncle at Purdue as well. Jeff and Big Frank and Jeff Scanina. So. Know the Kmet family well. Great family, good, solid salt of the earth people, and I don't believe he'll be overwhelmed by anything about that comes with the NFL. And you know, the second round, the other pick in the second round, I thought, you know, Jalen Johnson's put the labrum thing aside. Hopefully, they get that thing remedied as quick as possible. He's a really good corner, solid ball skills. We know the Bears needed. Another corner. They need corners. I know Ryan Pace has said you can never have enough corners or pass rushers. So he went and got himself a corner with Prince Amukamara leaving, and not really quite knowing with Tolliver what you got there. You want to go ahead and get somebody you think is a plug-in guy, and then right now he looks like that guy.
I didn't realize your ties to the Kmet family. That's pretty awesome. You say you coached him in basketball in junior high. Is that what you said?
Yeah, before junior high, when they were younger, we had a basketball team that we put together with some local kids, and I obviously knew Frank for a long time, and so he came over. He was, you know, basketball was not his number one sport, but we'd put him on the biggest, strongest kid, and he would always hold his own. So he, you know, Cole's a competitor, and I think that's the number one thing we saw, you know, when we were coaching him at a young age. You know, at a young age, you're not looking for a lot of great things. He's a tremendous athlete, of course, but his competitive nature was something that jumped out.
Yeah, is he pretty bright too? Because Pace was talking about football IQ a lot before this draft.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you know, the stuff we ran, we were young. You know, this is, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh grade.
You weren't running the triangle in fifth and sixth grade.
I can tell you this: the defending state basketball champion at the girls' high school program, Fremd High School, Dave Yates, was the head basketball coach there, and we ran a varsity program for these kids when they were in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. So
that's too much, man. Come on. You can't be running varsity programs for these kids.
They absolutely understood. They were coachable. They knew where they needed to be, and Cole fit in just perfect with that group.
So do you think that Cole Komet can contribute right away, or does that position a guy who did have a huge focus on baseball too in college, is he going to need time? Is he going to require patience, I guess, from coaches and from Bears fans for that matter?
No, I think he's going to play early. I think there's a lot of spots for tight ends in this, multiple tight ends. I mean, we saw last year, you know, 2-3 tight ends being played a lot of times. I mean, you know, the Bears got a lot of tight ends on the roster. I know it's a running joke, you know, with the 10 tight ends, but this is all going to fit in. This is going to be just fine when it's all said and done. And Cole is a guy I think that starts this year and is a starter for the next, you know, 6 to 10 years, depending on how this goes. So great pick, you know, for Ryan Pace at a position that I think when we talked earlier in the week that was one of the things, you know, that on the offensive side of the ball, why didn't it go as well last year? They had no production on the tight end. So, you know, he went out and he gets Jimmy Graham in free agency on a 1-year deal, and then he drafts really the tight end of the future, and really can be the tight end of the present as well.
It gets a little bit hard to evaluate and know exactly how the guys later in the draft are going to fit in, but they did take a defensive end in the fifth round, Trevis Gipson with a P out of Tulsa, 6'4", 268, 8 sacks last year. When you just look at a prospect like that, who's probably a little bit raw coming out of Tulsa, how do you think he fits in on the Bears and what they're trying to do depth-wise on those who go after the quarterback?
Well, I think if you're looking at it, if you're this kid, you're coming in and you get to mentor under Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, that's not a bad spot to be. I think, you know, if this kid takes coaching and he understands the big picture, he will just be a sponge. He will literally sit in the defensive end room in the corner and listen and watch and observe, and get it, when he gets his opportunity, you know, just let his natural talents speak for themselves, because you need a lot of pass rushers in the NFL. I think, you know, there were times in the last couple of years when we all kind of scratched our heads in big play, big moments when, you know, Khalil Mack wasn't on the field. Well, that's because these guys, it's the amount of effort it takes to rush the passer is unbelievable. There's nothing else like it to try to run through, around, or a combination of a 320 to 350-pound man who's a pretty good athlete, and try to get to the court. It takes all the energy you have, and you can't play multiple downs at that. And you never know when the time is that you're going to be needed out there, and you can't save yourself for that. This is not like saving yourself for some stretch run. You got to go every play as hard as you can. That's why you can never have enough pass rushers. And if this kid can come in and spell guys like Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack for a play or two or three, so they can get to the sideline and get their wind about them, you know, and be able to come back in and be as close to 100% as possible, then that's a luxury you'd love to have on defense.
The Bears, Jim, have made, you know, several upgrades. You mentioned Robert Quinn. That is an upgrade over Leonard Floyd. I think Jermaine Ifedi is going to be your right guard this year, so yep. Probably an upgrade over Rashad Coward. Maybe Foles is the quarterback. That could be an upgrade at QB. Komet, you mentioned, over Shaheen. I think Khalil Mack is going to return to being great this year. I was trying to make the case earlier. I think it's very possible that the Bears could end up being a playoff team in 2020. Do you agree?
Well, they are a playoff team, so that helps, right? We got one more playoff team coming into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that does help.
So the number game, right? You know what? I think, you know, when we were on earlier this week with you and Zach, I think, you know, Hilgi said it. He goes, this is the year. He goes, I really, truly believe with the talent they have and the position that they're in, you know, the coach is in his third year. You know, the system is there. He admitted after last year he maybe really didn't coach to the talent that the team had. He kind of coached kind of maybe a little bit bullheaded. And he's going to take a step back this year and coach to the talent that's on this team and what they have to offer. And maybe with a combination of all those things and hopefully a disgruntled Aaron Rodgers up north, you know, we can go ahead and sneak in this year. I still believe, you know, that the Packers and the Minnesota Vikings are still steps ahead of the Chicago Bears. So whether or not that, you know, comes to fruition this year, I do believe they can be a playoff team. I think, you know, based on the talent they have and the needs that were filled, whether it be by the offseason pickups in free agency or the draft, I think they definitely did take a big step towards being a playoff team this year.
Well, since you just mentioned the potentially disgruntled quarterback up north, I'm going to go there because, Jim, I think I was the only one who was a little bit freaked out that the Packers moved up from 30 to 26 to take Jordan Love because, Jim, the Packers have not had a history of screwing up the quarterback position. They have traumatized Bears fans and Bears players with their quarterbacks, different regimes. But I'm sorry, man. I don't trust that this kid won't be great someday.
Well, we're talking about being a playoff team this year, right? We're not talking about 5 or 7 years from now.
That's true.
We'll be probably haunting us in our nightmares. But you're right; they've done a really nice job of having a quarterback that's a Hall of Famer and another guy that's just in the waiting that's going to be a future Hall of Famer. So the remedy has kind of worked for them up there as far as how they do things, and that's been their recipe. So. They're going to stick with it, you know, and they got a young head coach. You know, that's the other thing people don't realize is here in Chicago, if you look around, most every young offensive coach who's offensive minded, I should say, has in some way, shape, or form been able to pick their quarterback. And Matt Nagy hasn't yet. Matt Nagy has not yet had a chance to pick a quarterback. He's been here for 3 years, and they haven't drafted a quarterback, so you know, they've gone out and signed a guy like Nick Foles and those, but he has not drafted a young quarterback that he can mold and mentor into being his system quarterback. And you look at LaFleur, he had an opportunity in year two. He's gone out and done it. You look at Kingsbury, he's been able to go all around. These guys have had a chance to grab a quarterback somewhere in the draft that they feel like they can mold and shape, and they did it up in Green Bay. So maybe that was just a nod to Coach LaFleur and saying, hey, we understand, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer, going to be playing, and they said today, another 8 to 10 years or whatever it is. Let's Bear fans, let's hope that's not the case. But if he's, you know, plays another 3, 4, 5 years, you've got a young quarterback that's got no pressure on his shoulders in a great town like Green Bay that can kind of sit back and mentor and learn. Now, we don't know what type of a mentor Aaron Rodgers is going to be. We know that Brett Favre, he just loved playing football, and I think he was probably a pretty good mentor for Rodgers, but Rodgers looks like one of those ultimate alpha competitors, and you know I don't know how much he's going to be helping out this young quarterback when it's all said and done.
Last thing for you, man. Were you surprised that the Bears waited till the 7th round to draft offensive linemen?
Yeah, I think so. I look at where they started drafting. You know, they drafted the other corner. They drafted the young wide receiver. At those spots, and I'll be 100% honest, I'm not as into the draft as most people are. I don't know if there was an offensive lineman that was, you know, high on the board and somebody they thought they could grab and draft and what have you. Maybe they think they've kind of solved their O-line with the new offensive line coach. And then, like you said, Ufetti that's coming in, who was a starter in Seattle. Maybe those two things combined with down years for guys last year kind of makes them think that they were able to solve what they needed at the offensive line position. Or maybe it was just as simple as what Ryan Pace said coming out of the break there was. He said, you know, sometimes the draft just doesn't fall the way you thought, and the guys don't fall to where you think they might fall, and you don't want to make a reach where you don't have to, and they didn't think the right guy was there. And that's why you put all that time and effort and resources into the draft, to make sure that the guys that you think can help your program, when they're there, you grab them, and you can certainly get them and get them ready to be pros for a long time.
Jim, you're the goods, man. I guess boiler up and bear down. Do people say that to you all the time? Boiler up and bear down.
Boiler up, hammer down. It's boiler up, hammer down. That's the Purdue thing. So
okay.
I guess if you were to combine the two, yes.
Yeah.
Boiler up and bear down. That would be the way to do it.
And what's the thing in Dallas? Do they have a thing in Dallas in your days with the Cowboys? Did they say something?
No, I don't.
How about them Cowboys?
Cowboy up maybe or something? Like, how about them Cowboys? Something like that.
Yeah. Jim, thanks, man.
All right. Talk to you soon, Mark. Have a good night, pal.
All right, man. You too. That is the one and only Jim Schwantz, who is part of our Bears broadcast extravaganzas on News Radio 780 WBBM and 105.9 FM, part of the pregame show, part of the postgame show with Jay Hilgenberg and Ron Gleason, and of course, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer, the big, the head. the heavies on the broadcast, and I am the sideline reporter of that crew. I hope, man, I hope we are all reuniting and physically in the same place at the same time come about the second week of September when the NFL is supposed to be playing. There's a part of me, though, like we all want to see sports again. I think we're going to see this, whether you want to or not. I do want to kind of see what it's like without fans. To feel, you could already expect it's going to be weird and eerie, but if I'm allowed to be on the sidelines during this and there's no fans, I wonder what that'll be like. And I know we saw it a little bit with the White Sox in Baltimore a few years back, and that was strange. For sure, just when you could hear the foul balls clunking in the stands like it's a little league game or a high school game or something like that, and you could hear individual conversations and voices and broadcaster bleed over from one booth to the next. But I'm wondering what sport would be the most odd to watch without fans. They'd all be odd, obviously. Would it be basketball, though, just because it's so fast and the fans have a chance to always be involved in a game? Like, you know, basketball or hockey, probably the oddest games without a crowd, because there's such a part of it and you are, you know, there's action on every play, obviously. So, yeah, I don't want to experience it, but I kind of want to know what it's like. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying. 312-644-6767 is the number. This is going to be a good time to call if you would like to. I am also textable at 670-11. If you want to do it like that, we can roll you in. Looking forward to the Bulls tonight. And one thing that happened last night, and it married sports and it married comedy, two of my favorite things. That is Saturday Night Live and Michael Jordan. And I don't know, Mike, do we got to take a break, or can I stick around here a little bit longer? Can
no,
I talk
Mark,
to the people?
You can stick around. Just I'll play a little music bed at around 55, and that'll be it.
And that's our production meeting. Okay, so I am commercial-free Grody until 55. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mark.
Okay, thank you, Mike. This has been a great meeting that we just had on the air. I loved every bit of it.
I think we should have all production meetings on the air. It
right.
Sounds like a lot of fun that way.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. It was everything. It was boring. It was great. So that was good. So, okay, I'm glad I don't have to take a break here, because, Mike, I'd like you to be prepared right now. Last night, something happened on Saturday Night Live, one of my favorite shows of all time. Love, love, love Saturday Night Live. I did a whole podcast on it recently. But something returned to SNL last night that I hadn't seen in a long time, and there's a sports portion of it as well. Mike, if you will, play the tape.
Woo! All right. We are so lucky to have Mr. Charles Barkley, who is in a new documentary on Michael Jordan.
I'm not gonna lie, this is weird.
It is. Now, Charles, everybody is talking about this new Michael Jordan documentary, and you played against Michael in the 1993 finals, and you were on the Dream Team. What was that like?
It was special. And the documentary is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't show everything. Let me tell you about something that's not in there.
Go ahead.
Okay, like I was saying, I played with Michael and all these guys. There are incredible stories people still don't know.
Incredible stories.
Right, and you might actually hear them if you would let me talk, please.
Letting you talk now.
No, you're not, which is a shame. I'm trying to tell you about the one time me and Michael
Jordan was the greatest, and I got to say, ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that?
Oh, my God. I'm cracking up. It was the return of What's Up With That on Saturday Night Live. that was so good. I was so shocked to see it. It completely changed my opinion of Keenan Thompson when he first started doing that, what, five, six, seven, even longer, because Keenan Thompson's been on forever. I've always found Keenan Thompson to be likable. There hadn't been a lot of skits through the years that really I associated with him, and I used to not like his propensity to laugh during skits, and now I feel like I've warmed up to everything that is Keenan Thompson, and it all stemmed from what's up with that, which is somebody tweeted to me earlier. I don't know why it's funny, but it is. It is. It's one of those skits that's just so ridiculous, and that's the premise of it, is he'll have a guest on, and they'll start answering his serious questions, and then he just starts singing about them. And singing What's Up With That, and you have Jason Sudeikis dancing in the background, and it was just, my God, you talk about hitting the right spots. That just cozied me up. That was like comfort food to watch SNL last night. SNL at home, by the way, very good last night. The first one wasn't great when they tried it a few weeks ago, SNL at home. I thought last night's was really good. They ditched the laugh track on Weekend Update, so Colin Jost and Michael Che were able to go about their business without having the internet sound live laughter, which almost ruined the Weekend Update. And I think those guys are great, Jost and Che. But it wasn't great when they had the fake laugh track or whatever the heck they used. So it felt so good to see that. Yeah, Heidi Gardner, keep that name in mind. She was featured a whole bunch last night, a terrific cast member, somebody that was a featured member who didn't get a lot of play, and all of a sudden you started to see some real talent there. Chloe Fineman as well, who I like because she does all these awesome impersonations, and she's really talented too. So that made me feel good. Charles Barkley, of course, on SNL too. Good show, and thank you, Keenan Thompson, for bringing back What's Up With That. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go to Jack in Arizona. Jack, you're on the score.
Hey, how you doing?
Jack, I am well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, I've been a Bear fan way back in, a long time ago, back in the 40s, actually. I remember Sid Luckman. But anyways, talking about quarterback situation, what did Ryan Pace see in Trubisky, and what didn't he see in Mahomes? I mean, I still can't understand that. Even though we were 12-4 the first year, but it seems like it didn't happen the year after. But I'd like to know what was the main thing? Why he picked Trubisky versus not picking Mahomes? I mean, did somebody talk him into it? Or?
I mean, you have to talk. You probably have to talk to 15 other GMs too. You know what I'm saying? No, I mean, like, yeah, I have no idea. I mean,
it's really, you know, I'm just saying. Just imagine if he was with the bull, with us, Mahomes, what kind of a team we would have, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, though, Jack. Everything did line up perfectly for Patrick Mahomes. I think that no matter what, that this guy was going to be great. But he did have a year to learn under Alex Smith, and he is with Andy Reid, a well-experienced guy, a guy whom Matt Nagy obviously looks up to him. So he was put into the perfect situation. I had no idea, Jack, that Jack, we're going to let you go, my man, because you got the radio on back there. I sound great. Good chance to air check myself. Beautiful work. I like the pace we're doing here. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, I feel like we're bringing up something that we went over just about every week of last season. Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, the Mitchell Trubisky. I had no idea that Patrick Mahomes is going to turn into a superstar. Now, you would expect GMs and evaluators to have a better idea than I would have on these guys, but yeah, it would be an interesting look to see him on the Bears. There's no doubt about that. 312-644-6767, textable 6711. Few text messages here. I'm so with you. I loved What's Up With That. So great. Yeah, man. It's just such a funny skit. It's a simple formula. I don't know where they got it, but somehow it works. And it turned the tide on Kenan Thompson. It's like, sign him up for another 5 years. What the hell? From the 260, Barkley is funny. I don't know. Like, Barkley is funny, like, when he's improvising, when he's on, like, the TNT set. I don't think Barkley's great on SNL. I mean, look, they're all reading cue cards. I get it, but unfortunately, you could always tell with Barkley. I mean, they give him good stuff. I actually have never liked Barkley on Saturday Night Live.
His facial expression, yeah. Mark, though, after Keenan went away from him, was absolutely hilarious, though.
Yeah, I'll give him that. Yeah, maybe he's better on Zoom. He's better via Zoom. We'll give Chuck that. You know, it's fine. This gives me a chance to wax poetic a little bit on Saturday Night Live here in the final few minutes. And I'll take your calls, too. If you want to jump in with a call, we'll switch gears quickly. But, yeah, so I just started doing a podcast, too, by the way. Let me just plug that one time. It's called Let Me Put a List Together. It is just that. Taking things about which I am passionate about, as well as my friend Brian Mitchell, former Chicago radio guy. Now he's one of them big voice guys in Minnesota. You might even hear him on national commercials from time to time. Hey, it's that guy. But we do a podcast together. It's stupid and simple because it's just things like top 10 favorite this, and we debate them and we list them. And we did 90s SNL characters at one point in time. That was one of our shows. So check it out wherever the heck you find your podcast. Yep, I'm doing a podcast. One is required to do a podcast in life these days. So find it, check it out. I would appreciate it. But I'm thinking about Saturday Night Live, and one of the things that always gets said about SNL these days, probably I've been hearing, I'm going to say, really since the 90s almost, or maybe early 2000s, this is what I hear. Does anybody actually watch Saturday Night Live anymore? I think a lot of people still watch Saturday Night Live. And here's a dirty little secret. Saturday Night Live is really good right now. The cast is very good right now. And you probably rip it if you just aren't watching it and you don't know that there's actually some pretty funny stuff going on. I mean, I mentioned Heidi Gardner and Chloe Fineman, who were featured last night a little bit. Kate McKinnon's a star. Like, she's not going to be on there much longer, I would think. She'll probably have her own show or variety show or whatever. You know, Cecily Strong's been on for a while. Beck Bennett, Alex Moffat, Mikey
Day. That's my guy!
Who?
Alex Moffat. Yeah, I went to high school with him.
No way.
Yeah.
Was he funny in high school?
He was absolutely hilarious. So a quick story on Alex. Alex and I pretty much played all the same sports together. He was a year younger than me. And when we would go on bus rides to away games, we both played in the basketball team for a couple of years. Alex was the kid that you wanted to sit next to, because that bus ride, because we would sometimes have, you know, hour and a half bus rides. That bus ride was literally felt like 10 minutes because Alex would have us just laughing the whole time. So we all knew that he was going to go somewhere and ultimately do something like that.
That is fantastic. Tell him to give me a tryout with Lorne Michaels, will you? Like,
yeah,
I got time.
I'll see what I can do. Get,
yeah, I'll do what I got to do, man. I'll get on a plane, go out there. I'll just scream at him as, hey, we got this really awesome, hilarious alderman in Chicago. His name is Tom Tunney, and he talks like this. I can create so many great characters for that show. But no, that's very cool, man. You know, Pete Davidson is an interesting guy. I think Pete Davidson is really funny, but Saturday Night Live doesn't appear to be his format. Like, when he does the stuff on Weekend Update, it's awesome. But when he's in a skit, he just looks out of place and awkward. He did like a music thing last night, which was really good. I think like Pete Davidson's stand-up is awesome. When I've seen him like on late night talk shows, he's awesome. And generally speaking, though, I don't know. Like it's a weird, like, I have a feeling Pete Davidson someday is going to be a really huge star, but I just he'll look back on SNL like kind of like Chris Rock. Like Chris Rock became one of the, like, you'd have to put him on your top 10 of greatest stand-up specials or stand-up comics. But he was on Saturday Night Live, and it didn't work. And maybe that wasn't his fault. Maybe it was the writers. Maybe he wasn't featured in the right sketches or whatever the case may be. But that wasn't his thing, you know? Sitcoms wasn't his thing. Movies weren't his thing. He is a straight-up superstar stand-up comedian, though, Chris Rock. And I think that's probably the direction that Pete Davidson is going. Kyle Mooney is another guy people probably haven't heard much about, but he's pretty funny. He's a guy, though, that you got to check out his YouTube videos, Kyle Mooney, as he plays like the dumb, insecure reporter going out on the street asking ridiculous, incomplete sentence of questions to people. My point is don't if you're somebody who just hasn't watched SNL because you think it sucks but you haven't watched it for 2 years, it's a really good cast. Or just YouTube the skits from last night, because they put them up like almost immediately on SNL Twitter. So go about it like that. Trust me on that it's actually good. And holy cow, Mike Chen hangs out with Alex Moffat. Chen, seriously, buddy. Maybe next time I host, let's try to get him on.
Yeah, I reach out to him. Unfortunately, he is a little bit busy and he never gets back to me, but I am not afraid to make that, that connection again. So I'll keep trying. That's for sure.
So he does the old, who is this guy? Mike Chen?
Well, oh, no, it's on, we're friends on Facebook. So I just, I send him a message on there. My guess is that he does not check that very often. So what I can do next time is, I can speak with one of our mutual friends, and, they definitely have his phone number. So, I'll get a hold of him that way.
Okay. Okay. And that's also, by the way, that is one of the SNL. I told you one of the topics on my podcast. Let me put a list together. Late night talk show hosts, like top 10, because there's so many these days. So we got that. And then what did we do? What was our third? Oh, yeah, we did 80s sitcoms, top 10 80s sitcoms, because, you know, that's when there were sitcoms. That's when the sitcom was alive and well, and you usually had a sturdy father and a good mother and good kids, and you learned lessons. You learned lessons like don't take amphetamines. Mr. Drummond, and so check that out. It's pretty fun stuff. It's not sports, so if you don't like non-sports, me, that's fine. But I just thought I'd throw it out there for you during this time when you're trapped inside your house. But thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you for texting. Come hang out with me on Twitter at Mark Grody Sports. Thank yous to those who joined us on the show today: Chris, Emma, Arif Hassan from Minnesota talking about the Vikings. My guy Greg Gabriel was on, and then former Bear Jim Schwantz was on just a short while ago. Thanks to listening. Thanks to Mike Chen back in our studio. CBS Radio is next, and then The Grobber at midnight. Have a great night, everybody. I'm Mark Grody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.